Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
People, this is Jonathan with the More Than Just an Interview podcast series, exclusively partnered with Red Circle, monetized there. Shout out to our Red Circle family. Also, we are syndicated on 99.7 The Heat Miami on iHeartRadio. The purpose of this platform was to really talk in detail about current events from a very open and honest and multi-diverse format, because we know a lot of the viewpoints of that most people share don't get expressed on blogs and on certain platforms because they have a vested interest to support a particular side. The only side we pick here is just honesty, and honesty, is all that matters when it comes to letting people feel your authenticity of your viewpoints, as well as complete thought, and not just be biased because you have some type of hidden motive to make somebody look good. And these are all of our opinions and thoughts. But in the same token, though, we curate our thoughts in a way to be objective on everything, even if we don't always agree. Z and I don't always agree, but one thing we agree on is to respect each other's truth, and I think that's important. So I'm honored, super honored to have entrepreneur, RN, a philanthropist, a recording artist. She is a host of three of our biggest broadcast platforms, Rap Life Decoded, More Than Just Interview, Fan Pain, as well as she is a real estate investor as well. Zoe Rosegold, welcome to the More Than Just Interview platform. She is my co-host on this. We do this thing together. Z Rosegold, what's good?
What's good, everybody? You thank you for the intro. I don't have to do one right now, so I'm happy. Let's go.
No doubt. All right, man. Y'all know how we do. First thing we got to do is get in here and shout out a couple of different brands that we highlight. So again, we're going to highlight Walmart because everybody got to go to Walmart for something. But with Walmart Plus, Walmart comes to you. Check it out, and then we'll jump right back into the podcast, More Than Just Interview.
Everybody goes to Walmart at some point in their day, in their week, in their month, during the year, in their whole life. Walmart is a must-stop destination for everybody for whatever needs you have, whether it's food, products, electronics, pharmacy, you name it, it's at Walmart for the best value that you can find on the planet. But right now, we are in a time and space where everybody's working two jobs, three jobs, super busy with the kids or with your own life, school, studying, whatever it may be. You don't always have time to jump in your car and go to Walmart and buy what you need, which is why Walmart Plus is your new best friend. www.plus.walmart.com. That's plus, plus.walmart.com, plus.walmart.com. The Walmart Plus membership is the ultimate all-in-one solution for all of your shopping needs. You pay one price for the year with same-day delivery, save on free shipping, save on streaming, save at the gas pump, and rack up with Walmart Cash all day, every day. It's a win-win. Right now, we're in the stage of convenience, speed, and savings. The Walmart Plus membership does all of that for you. Again, go to plus.walmart.com and try for free for 30 days. You can't miss. It's Walmart. Walmart Plus. Tap in right now. Now back to our regular scheduled programming on 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family.
All right, so let's dive right into the mix. So reality TV has been a part of the landscape now for about like 20 years, I think, almost. And, you know, shout out to Jim Jones and Chrissy. They were the first ones to like introduce the love in hip hop because it was really about them. And then they were documenting themselves for TV and they started it. And then Mo and Scott got in there and negotiated a big deal with VH1 Viacom and really just put it on the map. Love and Hip Hop New York was actually first. That was the flagship franchise. And it really changed the whole landscape between music, relationships, and TV. Obviously, you had Jim Jones, Chrissy, you had Mendeecees, you had Yandy, you had, you talking about Erica Mena, Rich Dollaz, Pete Guns, Amina. I mean, you got storylines for days. Then Hip Hop, Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, Miami. You see it where it's going now. Then, obviously, with all of the billions of views and all of the money these platforms generated over time, showcasing people's relationship in music and love and their way, it just polarized America. And people were like guys like Stevie J, who was forgotten about. He just thrust back into the scene. And people were like, yo, who was that guy? I didn't know he did all that work. So for people who were in the industry for a long time, Love & Hip Hop provided a platform for them to resurrect themselves. And then for people who were unknown, like a Cardi B or a Jocelyn, stars were born. Obviously, no stars bigger than Cardi. Next was K. Michelle. But Jocelyn carved out her own lane in the world of reality TV. Then you have the other platforms that gave birth after that, which was Zeus. Zeus was, before I go to Zeus, we had Love & Hip Hop Hollywood too in LA with Ray J. So, and actually to back up a little bit, Ray J was after. Yeah. For the Love of Ray J was after the Chrissy thing. But so many things have come off this reality TV tree. That showcase a lot of Black culture. The thing is, what we're talking about today, has networks like Trinix and Zeus, are they impacting Black Gen Z culture in a negative way? Because now a lot of the shows that are showcased on the Zeus network, on Trinix, they showcase a lot of violence, a lot of dysfunction. And even though they promote a diverse platform, it's the way the material is being presented. And when you have young girls that are 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old, patting themselves, saying, I want to be like Rashawn Rock. Again, that's your own opinion. But even her, she's tried to clean up her image now, being a mother, being this, being that, not being infused just with alcohol to start fighting and being with the drama. Because obviously these women, they're not looking to fight every hour, but on the show, that's highlighted majorly. My thing is this, is that to me, everything has a shelf life to it. When I look at balanced programming, I think all of these women and men are looking to evolve to something stable that can be sustainable because you get older. And the older you become, the more security you want in life because you know you're not going to be able to do the things that you used to do physically. So to me, when I see people like the people who own the Zeus Network, like Lemmy Plummer and Ray J owns Trinix, I personally don't see how that type of programming because it's so one-sided, helps somebody 20 years old saying, hey, I want to stream some dope culture. Not just black culture, just TV, period. I don't see how they turn on open up your app and they want to see, you know, people beating up each other, shooting at each other, or fighting each other 24/7, seeing certain dynamics that make sense. But if it's, you know, if I burn most of the cake, but a little bit of it is still okay, still 90% of the cake is burned, I still gotta do away with it. That's how I look at reality TV. Some of it's good. Some of it could be a healing moment for people, full circle. Like, for instance, when I saw Scrappy talking to his mom and telling her how she impacted him by you know, pimping out girls, and he did things when he was a kid that really impacted him. He was crying. That was real. A lot of people felt that. There have been a lot of surreal moments on Love and Hip Hop, but also, too, there have been moments that, you know, make people say, well, that's all you are. So to me, in conclusion, on my little two cents, I think that it has to be balanced. Ratchet TV will only last but so long, a year or two before people say, okay, I'm turning on to see a hyper extended or an elevated Jerry Springer. You know, we thought Jerry Springer was Shock TV, and we knew they were going to fight Jerry. Like, we knew that, but it was a build up to it. Right now, it just gets straight to it. So, anyway, those are my viewpoints. I think it's too much violence. I think it's too much hypersexualized content without focusing on something that can benefit people, whether it be to help them pursue their dreams or whatever. Like, the programming I've looked at on YouTube, most of it, none of it's aspirational. It's all just violent entertainment, infused with, you know, youthful ignorance. That's just me. But Z, what are your thoughts?
So the question is, how does Love and Hip Hop...
Are Tronix and Zeus reality TV networks hurting the image of Gen Z black culture?
Oh, we're jumping into that one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is that hurting Gen Z culture? I mean, it's just basically how you look at, is it hurting people? I mean, it's giving some people some jobs, I guess. But I think if we compare our American culture to other cultures like China, who's doing really well, and what's on TV when it comes to, you know, their TV and their culture, yeah, I think it's hurting us a lot, because while their, you know, social media and their TV shows are more wholesome, more about education, I think that the children have less depression, the children and the youth, they basically, you know, excel better in school. They're able to work better in teams, you know, things like that. So I think it is affecting our culture in a negative way, just overall. So if it's affecting black culture, for sure, it's affecting black culture. It's affecting American culture in general, but black culture, yeah, because some people, because these images get all over the world, and then in some cultures some countries where they don't see people that are brown and, you know, look like that, talk like that, they're going to assume that that's who all those people are. So to me, I think of Zeus and Tronix as like Honey Boo Boo, you know, all day, all night, you know, because like,
when you say Honey Boo Boo, what do you mean by that to the general public? Listen, like
yeah, that's a show. That was a show where there was just like a real country, show where, you know, it was just this little girl, and this, they were just really ratchet, I think. Mama June, things like, yeah, those type of people. So if white America saw that they were only depicted as Honey Boo Boo and Mama June, they would be in an uproar.
Right.
You know, because the world would see them as Mama June and Honey Boo Boo. So that is what Zeus and these things are doing. They're making people who are Black, melanated, African descent, whatever you want to call it, look like a bunch of Honey Boo Boos and Mama June. So I can understand there are Honey Boo Boos and Mama Junes in all cultures. True. But if you make it seem like that's the only people that exist in that culture or in that race or in that whatever, then it looks bad. Then it's really bad. And so these people, or Ray J, he's eating off of, you know, making these images of Black people. I mean, hey, if he wanted to do it and he balanced it out, you know, then I could understand. Like, you got to show all parts of the culture. But if he's just showing a bunch of Honey Boo Boo's Mama June, and that's what the world looks at, you know, Black people as, then that's a problem for me.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that it's the balance that we're looking for, because I mean, when you think about CBS, NBC, Stars, or Hulu, I mean, there's a balance, there's ranges, there's limits, there's things that Hulu will carry that Stars won't. There's things that, you know, BT Plus will cover, which is more of a diverse platform where they have all type of shows that mainly just focus on Black culture, but you know, there are no fighting shows. I understand the ratchet TV lane, as Ray J said, he wants to be the king of ratchet TV. I just feel like when people look at him and they look at what he stands for, where he comes from, you know, and the type of content you're putting out. If I'm like right now, I'm on a Tronix site, you know what I'm saying? Tronix site, and I'm looking at the different shows that they have, and if I'm looking at it from a consumer perspective and I'm saying, hey, listen, I want to see Going on a Safari, that's a love show about safari and girls that he's has in a house or whatever, House of Blueface, you know, Blueface currently right now is in prison, we don't know when he's getting out, the Fight Club, you know, it just I'm just looking at, and for $5 a month, you know, I can subscribe and just, you know, watch TV that's going to be based around a certain level of hyperbolized sex, violence, people with different sexual orientations. But as far as something I can say, hey, that is benefiting me in a positive way. Like, no matter what, if people watch Empire, people saw a successful, people fell in love with Cookie because Taraji Henson was a woman that went to prison for 20 years and never told, and for selling drugs, but she came out to, you know, her family was running this big record label while she was in prison with drug money that she started, they started a company with, but they cleaned it up. You feel what I'm saying? Like Andre went to Wharton. You know what I'm saying? He was a smart guy. Mm-hmm. Jamal was supremely gifted, but he was gay. Hakeem was a young brass guy. But, you know, they didn't show him slapping girls.
Right.
You know, Terrence Howard was this ruthless guy who grew to have a heart of a lion, had a complex relationship with his mom. Cookie was the glue of the family because she was without family for 20 years being in prison by herself. So all I'm saying is, even with that, it gave people from all races a chance to say, okay, I can run a publicly traded record label called Empire too. So even with that, it gave, it kind of humanized drug dealing. It kind of humanized surviving. Like, we only sold drugs to survive. Now I got this company. That was my past. Look at me. Kind of like what Suge Knight was doing with Death Row. Even though Death Row was violent, what made Death Row so special was you couldn't deny the money was generated. So obviously, Snoop, Tupac, the Dog Pound, Lady of Rage, Bow Wow, you know, all those corrupt, you know, all those people over there, Dr. Dre, they knew what they were doing musically. You know, you don't generate $1 billion because you just guess. You know, there has to be a, there has to be that. I'm just saying, when I'm looking at Zeus and I'm looking at Jocelyn's Cabernet and I'm saying, okay, we're on the fourth season of that, but it's women trying out to be in a strip club and some of them win 10, 20 grand at the end of the year. But where are they going after that? It just needs to be, I think, a different layer of content or storyline to show a evolve, you know, some type of evolution from just the trenches of, I guess, of Ratchet TV. Because to me, I don't see how you sell this with certain advertisers that feel like people are going to do it. Even with the Baddies show, they got the Baddies East Coast, Baddies West Coast. But when you sit down and watch the show, you don't even have to watch the whole show. You can just see YouTube clips. Within 10 minutes, they're on a bus and they're throwing drinks and they're fighting. You know, and it's what the crazy part about it is, I remember when Jocelyn was saying, I'm a mother and Love and Hip Hop wants to paint me in a Mona. She was blaming Mona Scott for saying they paint me in this bad light. But then you go over to Zeus and you do worse. Like, you're yelling at these girls like you're a pimp. Like, literally. Like, you're never going to be there. Don't talk when I'm talking. Like, you just, it's almost like you are treating them the way you didn't want to be treated. So, that, you know, those are my thoughts. I just feel like, you know, I think Ray J took it. I mean, he sold all his interest in Raycon to dump his money into this TV network because he feels like Ratchet TV, but he's going to have to get the college involved, HBCUs involved to showcase a different line. I just don't see the violence and the fighting. I don't want to see paraplegic people or queer people or whatever you know, however they identify, being respectful, you know, using that as violence. I think you can show healthy relationships with people as well and win. I just think that morally we're away from that. It's almost like in the world today, you know, before people started committing suicide for cyberbullying, people didn't take bullying seriously. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, it's not, but kids get bullied to the point where they want to kill themselves. Like, really, it's that deep. So then they want to put these laws up. So I just think for Tronix and Zeus, now Love and Hip Hop looks tame to me. When you look at Love and Hip Hop now, it looks normal. And to me, Mona Scott took a lot of heat from Charlamagne, everybody, about that. And I never liked that. I felt like she was, because Jim Jones, no disrespect, but his career was just, until he did Balling, you know, it wasn't nobody really, like, it put him on TV and it showed a different side of Jim, you know. Same thing with Tahiri and Joe Budden. So, you know, my final thoughts before we move on to the next topic, but my final thoughts is like, you know, if there's not going to be an evolve with it, I see it all burning out by 2026. I don't think this TV thing for Ray J is going to be valuable because at the end of the day, Generation Z and the generation after that, they don't want to fight like that. They're looking for a new type of freedom. They're looking for, they're looking for a new way to express themselves. They're looking for a new way to make money without spending money. Like, for real.
Right.
For real. What's your final thoughts on that before we go on to the next topic?
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Next topic. There is, I think, and this is my opinion, and Z, you know, I can't wait to hear you burn this topic up, because, you know, I love the way you have your viewpoints, but hip hop, like, used to drive so many different things, like what clothes you wear, you know, Adidas with Run DMC and Aerosmith, Walk This Way. You know, everybody wanted the fat laces, the Fat Boys, you know, Beastie Boys was wearing all Adidas track suits, you know, just so many things. Puff, you know, Fat Farm with Russell Simmons, you know, and because there were certain characters that people identified with, like, and not to talk about Puff, but like, we all felt like he owned Ciroc. So when we were drinking it, we felt like we was a part of his lifestyle. That's just what it felt like when you walked in there and bought a bottle. It's just like people who buy Yeezy. They feel like they're supporting Kanye. They feel like they're artistically free. I've spoken to people that wear Yeezys, and I've asked them, like, why do you wear Yeezys for real? And they said, man, Kanye just free. His design is free. His mind is free. So, like, I'm in the barbershop talking to young boys about it, male and female. They be like, man, now he's free. So it's a little bit different now, but, you know, they were like, he's free. So once people identify with something, but is the impact of hip hop and commercialism still big? Like, can hip hop really sell culture these days? When you think about the fingernail polish and the purses and the dresses and the lack of substance in the music, rap sales are down. It just feels like, to me, like there's no direction as far as where it's going. Like, to me, everything always had a direction with R&B or with hip hop. Like we knew where it was going. It just now, I don't know where it's going because of what they promote. Of what they want promoted out there. I think this Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef was the first time that the reason why people resonated so much with it, they felt some type of excitement. They felt like there was something that was valuable going on. And from two established people that are iconic within the music genre. But outside of that, what else was going on in hip hop that made people say, wow, this is so interesting. Wow, this is keeping here. It was just mostly drama. So I don't know if Hip Hop Z has the same commercialism effect on on mainstream to like sell product like it would before. I think it's still influential. No doubt about it. But I mean, as far as selling product and having a person that people like, who is the face of the game, and you know, right now, like who is somebody that young people would say, if he do something, I'm gonna follow it, or if he sells something, I'm gonna buy it. You know, it just you know, had like DMX, Ja Rule, Jay Z, Nas doing their heyday, they ran the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew even with Master P, his 3-year run, Puff had 10 years. You know what I'm saying? But we knew like that was a sound. It was a movement. I can't identify with any movement right now. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't identify with any movement. I don't know, like, who has, you know, when you think about it, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Somebody hit me with this yesterday. They said, Jay, how many people did Fat Joe put on with his record label? How many people did Irv Gotti really put on that was dope on his label? How many people did Rick Ross put on with MMG, his label? What I'm saying is that all these artists, there were only certain labels that really put on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about like multiple artists, like a roster, which created a movement. If you think about it, and I want to hear your thoughts, but you can't create a movement with one or two people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, what made Death Row, Bad Boy, you know, Rough Riders, it was like Eve, Pitbull and Skirt, Dragon, Swiss Beats, DMX, you know what I'm saying? Lots. It was just like the whole thing. So riding bikes and doing everything like that. But we haven't really had a lot of superstars evolve from a label. We've had independent success outside of Young Money. So with producing, obviously, Drake and Nicki. But I don't know if hip-hop is still impactful commercialism-wise as far as selling product or selling their brand to young people. I think young people love hip-hop music, but I think that it doesn't have the same impact as far as, like, what they go to survive and to look at things. Those are my thoughts. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, with rap culture, there's no way I think that it can be commercialized, or they can use it to, move forward with pop culture. I think it's very, the loudest voice in hip hop has always been the youth, and the music that's coming out now, you can't commercialize it because it's really over sexualized, and mm-hmm. They're pretty young. I don't know how old Sexy Red is, but they're over sexualized. The guys are very, pushing drugs a lot, pushing violence. The girls are pushing violence with one another. So you can't, it's not possible to commercialize it. You can't say, hey, Sexy Red, we want you in a Sprite commercial, hey, Young Thug or whatever, we want you in a milk commercial. You know what I'm saying? Like, these things you can't, because I think at one point Chris Brown had a milk commercial or something, but they took it away from him. He had a double mint gum commercial. Like, they took it away from him. Any kind of blemish on your character, they're going to take it away. So, I just think it's really hard to do it right now with hip hop artists. They may go back and glorify older artists and maybe put them, mm-hmm. in the forefront, because Apple just made Lauryn Hill's album like the best album ever, right?
Yeah, of all time.
Right. So, that's classic. Like, she's been eating off of that one album
forever.
Like, for so long. No one that's coming out with music now in the Gen Z generation will ever know how that feels. They will never know how it feels to have a classic album, because they're talking about sex, and they're talking about going raw and all this stuff, and it's just like, you can't play that, you can't play that at a barbecue, you can't play that right around your family. And do you want to hear it all the time? When you're about to go to work, do you want to hear talk about sex all the time and get your mind going? And because you're trying to focus on work, so I don't. It's just for maybe Friday night, Saturday maybe, So the topics that are discussed, you're not able to play it in all crowds. You're not even able to play it in your car for every situation. You're not enlightened by the music. It's not feel good music. It just either makes you want to drink, smoke, pop pills, or have sex. Right. And those are not activities that you can really do all the time,
Yeah, and those are things that people just, they end up saying, those are the choices. And when people look at those choices, they're like, this, and it's the reason why they have such a hard time selling the culture when it comes to sales. And like before, Sexy Red just put out an album nobody's talking about. Like, nobody. Like, and that's what Jermaine Dupri was just talking about. And he caught a lot of flack for it. It was like, hey, nobody's talking about it. Nobody's even discussing it, da-da-da-da-da. So it's like, where do we go? Because it's just chatter. You know, there's no impact. You see, chatter is one thing. Chatter is, you know, people talk about on a certain platform. But then, you know, it doesn't go beyond that. You know, it's almost like Kim Kardashian being a Hollywood actress. I mean, she can do Hulu all day. She can do ETV all day, reality TV series. But there are over 30, as Cat Williams said, there's over 30,000 scripts in Hollywood every year. Not one of them is asking for a Kim Kardashian type role, type person. So, because they never asked her to do a movie. Not like that, rather. What I'm saying is that there's limits to everything. There's certain specifications that people want and don't want. And I think that, like you said, when it comes to, like, you know, if I'm like, for instance, like, what's the music that pushes the most on Peloton? Or like, what's the music that pushes mm-hmm. the most at the gym in a spinner class? Or, you know, what's like they're not going to put in, you know, Pound Town by Sexy Red. They're not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because right. that's what bow, 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 bow. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not doing mm-hmm. all that. You know, not because once you make a record like that, it's like, where's the evolve? You know, where's mm-hmm. the balance? Where's the range? You know, and all great artists have range, which makes people like a Drake or a Kendrick or whoever. It makes people want to buy, especially people like Drake. I mean, you go from a one dance to, I mean, he's been in broad in some of the biggest rap battles since he came in the game. But I just personally think that there are no movements. Like, Biggie was a movement. Junior Mafia was a movement. Pac with the Outlaws, Thug Life, movement. The Lox, the whole griminess, X. We just don't have that. Even Shiny Suit was a movement.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Shiny Suit, like, that was a movement. Even though it was weird, it was a movement. So, it's sad when YouTube talks more about Puffy's trial and is Busta Rhymes gay than anything, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know, and I just think that, you know, Coi Leray, even with Coi Leray, I mean, even with that project, here's a prominent person, but she's really morphing her sound into something away from hip hop.
Right.
To be honest, I just think that people have a season. I don't really think, I mean, I don't expect to see a Foxy Brown or Eve or Cardi or Nicki. I mean, I think Lotto has done a good job as far as, like, you know, being consistent and being young. I give her that. But it takes a lot. Even with the whole Megan Thee Stallion thing, I mean, you know, they just put out an artificial sex tape about her. You know, it's sad, you know? Yeah, they just did. Yep. It's AI generated. But, you know, Tory Lane's wife, I didn't know Tory Lane was married. She just filed for divorce.
Wow.
Yeah. And she only been married for a year, and she just filed for divorce. That's public knowledge. Go to TMZ. Shout out to Harvey them. But, you know, like, she's not going to file for divorce from somebody that's innocent. Unless there's other bigger things going on. Just my viewpoints on it. But, you know, there's just so many people incarcerated, so much bad music, so much. It's almost like beefing is bigger. It's almost like gossip runs hip hop. I don't think the music, if somebody did put out a dope album, I don't even think it would get the kind of attention
it would get.
You know, like, I go back to the Grammys. Nobody's going to remember Killer Mike winning Album of the Year.
Right.
There's nobody going to remember that. But I think that's what they wanted. So, in conclusion, I think that, I mean, like, what do you think? You think Afrobeats music is the new thing? It has a bigger impact? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Afrobeats, they selling out concerts. I'm trying to think of the singer's Burna name. Burna Boy. Burna Boy selling out concerts all over the world.
Sam's too.
All over the world because there's hip hop and R&B are different. You know, R&B is about breakups and how I hate you. Because before it used to be about how much I love you, what I want to do for you and to you, you know? And hip hop, you know, it had a different phases. So hip hop has evolved in different ways because hip hop has been sexual before. You know, we can go very far back to the from the pioneers of hip hop. Hip hop has been sexual before, and it's been violent. So that's just the evolution. But it's just right now that I think Gen Z is more so. They're not looking so much for music. They're looking for, like you were saying, gossip. What's going on with your life? That's more important than the music, because in my opinion, years ago the hip hop was better for the most part, in my opinion, you know, and R&B was better for the most part. So I think a lot of Gen Z are used to underperforming when it comes to music. And because they're not used to caviar of music, you're used to tuna fish. So you don't really care for it too much. You know, don't really care for it too much. You just more, you're like, it's all right. But what's going on in her life though? That's what's up. I want to hear about that, because that's stimulating their brain more than the music is. You know, the gossip is stimulating their brain. I know there's a scripture that says gossip like sticks to your bones. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like them grits, you know, grandmother used to give or something like that. So that gossip is stimulating them more than the music is. So in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's leading the way. And I think definitely it's you know, to me, that's what drives the TikTok numbers, and which, because, you know, TikTok, and we'll get into this on our next show, but to me, that's why TikTok became so impactful with everything, because, you know, popularity sometimes can trump quality, sometimes can trump, you know, what's really out there. And then real music gets buried down, and then people really can't, like, rock with it like that. So I just think that overall, I think that it's more of a situation where like the direction with Afrobeats music, because Afrobeats music is safe, is universal, has more melody to it, and it has more gamesmanship, and it has more people that are just more artistic. I just think that, you know, you just can't, you know, some people simplify, you know, hip hop music so much they think anybody could do it. Let me just throw some on here. Like, true. You see, even with Beyonce going to country, they flipped out over that. They were like, man, she already got R&B. That's not enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were tripping. Like, they were like, man, it can't be nothing else. So, you know, it was just a whole thing is what I'm saying. So, it was just different, but I just think overall that it's just a situation where I just believe that, you know, more people, more hip hop artists are using Afrobeats music, to cross over. And I just think that you gotta read the room, man. I just feel like there are no superheroes left in hip hop. And I think like DC Comics, there were Superman. They were like Batman, Thanos, Superman, you know, Hulk. I just don't know who are they now, besides And really, Drake's old now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about it, I mean, he's been around almost 20 years. It's a long time. I mean, I'm not saying he's old, like he can't do it, but I'm just saying he's old regarding, you know, he's been in the game, man, since 06. He's been in the game, 05. So 19 years he's been in the game. So he's almost 20 in. So, and he's had the most, you know, electrifying, the most consistent catalog out of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And not that. I mean, the music he's created is, you know, you can't even begin to put, you know, to talk about it. I mean, he has the most number one. He has the most diamond singles as a hip hop. Well, he has, I think, 7 diamond singles. That's crazy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Cardi has 4. She has the most for females in hip hop. That's big.
So, and I don't think those records will be hit again.
No.
They won't be hit again. Those are the last of hip hop unless something dramatically changes with the way music is distributed.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely believe that. I just think that even with direction that Cardi went, I think she was always looking for quality. I just think that the way they managed her music catalog was brilliant, because all the music she put out, she was just putting out bops, man. Music that just made you want to feel, it made you feel something. And I think I think Megan did the same thing. I think that's what Nicki kind of fell off for a while. I think she lost what type of sound she wanted. And we're going to talk about Nicki next week. You know, she just, she says she's single now. So, her and her childhood her friend who she married, Kenneth Petty, they're not together anymore. She put single on Twitter. So, not sure what that's about, but a lot of people never thought the relationship was going to manifest because of his background and just a lot of different things. So, and stuff like that. But we'll talk about the relationship stuff next week for sure, because, you know, I don't think you can think of any relationships in hip hop that are still working. So, but we'll talk about that and how it impacts me. I think it's all to just make the music sell, but that's another day for another conversation. But I think that, you know, when I look at Fabio Foreign or all these young guys, even from New York City, I just don't know. People talk about Cam and May's show more than they talk about New York rap. So, sad but true from my perspective. It is what it is. you know, and Cam just left New York because of the rat problem. We're going to talk about that next week too. The rats in New York. How bad is it? I mean, you can speak on that because that's your city. So, but Cam I just found out yesterday, Cam said he moved. He's officially relocating to Florida because he said the rats in New York are out of control. So it's got to be bad if the rats are that big. And stuff like that. But I think rap needs a resurgence. I think it's taking a lot of hits right now with the lawsuits. And I think this Puffy thing is really tearing the thing apart. I think people, and Jay-Z's been quiet. 50's been 50. But we need to have a superstar, like a movement, to come in and be like, yeah, this is what it's about. And I think there's been so much separatism. And going back to this, in conclusion, Z, I think the deaths of everybody played a role up to this. Everybody dying. I think that caused a problem, too. Because you think about it, like over 10 people have died the past like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, many people.
Yeah, that's gonna scare the talented from going into the industry. It won't deter the people who want the smoke, you know, who may not be as talented. But yeah, and people are obviously not gonna wanna go to those type of concerts. you know, who's going to pay? Are your parents going to say, hey, yeah, I'm going to pay for you to go to this hip hop concert? Or are you going to be willing to like, hey, I might not live through this concert, but I'm going to pay for it. So you want to pay to possibly die? Like, you know, it's just not appealing to a lot of people. Sorry to say, but
yeah, a lot of people have, like, you know, changed up, like, even with the Future Metro Boomin, they had to cancel their tour, you know.
Oh, they canceled sale. The entire thing, every state that they were going to be
so.
In?
I think oh, okay. so. I might have to double check, but I know some shows got canceled because of low ticket stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, and even the baby, man, as big as he was, you know, once, you know, even he can't, you know, I remember when he was just trying to tour, some of his tickets were going for $15.
Hmm.
So I think Nicki Minaj tickets going for $199 the minimum. So.
Yeah.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tricky out here, man. People got their priorities in different places. These fast food prices, we got to talk about that next week too, fast food prices. Because between that, so, I mean, you got some place like Five Guys selling combos for $24. That's crazy.
Wow.
Who spends $24 at Five Guys on one meal?
Right.
So, but anyway, we'll talk about that next week. Great show. I appreciate your thoughts, Z. More than just an interview on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Stream us on Apple Podcasts. Apple now has transcribed all of our podcasts. So when you listen to us on Apple, it's like a karaoke style. So it syncs our words. So you'll be able to read along with us during the whole interview. So it's super cool. And just for the record, I'm not hating on Trinix or Zeus. Neither of us are. You know, we're just strictly, you know, expressing a concern about the lack of diversity when it comes to the content. You know, I don't want to think about young black girls fight all day. I just don't. Right. I want to see somebody emerging. Like, show me the next doctor. Show me the next slutty vegan. You know what I'm saying? Like, the next CEO of Slutty Vegan. Like, I think Ray could really do some big things with Trinix if he just wasn't focused on being the king of Ratchet TV. Just my thoughts. I just don't have a tolerance for it. Like, I mean, once you watch one Jocelyn Cabaret, I mean, what are you looking for the, why would you watch it to the end of the year to see somebody win what? For fighting every week? I just, I don't know. There's no storyline if it's violence, you know. That's why I never like horror movies. If everybody dies in the movie, I don't, it's boring to me. That's just me. I'm corny like that, though. You know, like, everybody gets stabbed. Let me go. And anyway, we're going to talk about Will Smith next week. Stephen A. Smith saying that he owed black people an apology or explanation for why he slapped Chris Rock. A lot of people gave Stephen A. Smith flack over that, saying it was stupid. Will Smith winning right now, Bad Boys number one, $104 million in his opening weekend. I think people don't care about that slap no more. Will Smith's never done anything wrong. So, I mean, he did one thing bad, and that was just be connected to Jada Pinkett. But that's just my thoughts. But, you know, he got caught up in his feelings. People, I don't know, it's weird in this forgiveness space. You want to forgive people, but based on your terms. I don't know. But we'll talk about it next week. Z, any final thoughts? Are you good?
No, that's about it. Good show. We'll talk next week.
You got it, man. The world of Z rolls gold. Let's get it.
All right.
Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition.
In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.